Now, Joe started with a band in high school. But they look older than high school.
No, they were in high school. Joe was the head of the entertainment committee in high school. So he got the band together and they started playing.
And all of these boys in this band?
They weren't
were
all.
In the same school?
No, no. Montebello High. Some.
Oh,
see,
I
here
see.
They are.
I see. And they were called the Evergreen Blues.
Why do I have this picture?
And what? And he played the guitar?
No, bass. But they traveled, you name it. They traveled all over, all over. See?
Oh, I see. And this is, and so they had a hit record. This is My Confessions.
But,
did he think about pursuing a musical career?
At first, yes. But they had this terrific letdown when the man sold the rights to the song to this famous, I can't remember the name of the group that was doing it. He made an awful lot of money when this other group cut it, where these kids were just starting out. So he was starting to make more money with the other.
So he hasn't continued his music at all?
Not really, no. No. He, outside of working in the music stores, he was selling instruments and he could fix them. He can tune a piano. He can do just...
But then Alex, after he finished at Long Beach, went up to Stanford?
Stanford, that's where he got his master's. He got his B.A. at Long Beach. He got his master's.
And his plan had been to go into...
teaching. But he taught at Wilson High. He found in time that he didn't have the patience to be a teacher. He tried it in different phases, and he found he didn't have the patience. So he started working as counseling. And not really counseling in the sense of the word, with a youth authority. And what's a probation? Before they get to the probation officer, they send them to them to see what they can do with them, the first offenders and the stuff like that, or kids that need help, period. So that's what he's been doing. And just in the last 2 months, he's been doing that right along. Last 2 months, he... broke away and wants to go. He was working part-time for KRLA at night. And that's what he really wants to do, he says. He wants to get into the news media, into the... I don't know if he ever will, because it's a hard nut to crack.
Both of them, in a sense, following in some of your husband's footsteps in terms of getting into entertainment.
And Alex won the Irish Fish Festival. Irish Fish, they call it. They used to have it. He got the gold medal. He danced. He looked so cute. He was in the 7th or 8th grade, and he sang McNamara's band, and I dressed him up like a leprechaun, and he danced, and he won first prize. And from then, we thought he was going to be the one to do it, and here Joe was the one that really, in the long run.
Now, it sounds then like your activities, I mean, when came back to the family, then as the family grew up and left, you started taking classes and...
Going back to school.
Going back to school and getting into that more. And then once your husband retired, you seemed to do a fair amount together.
I retired, too, from school. I quit school, and we do a lot together. 3-4 days a week, that's when my sister calls early if she's going to catch us, because we'll get up in the morning, leisurely do a little shopping. He'll read in the car. He never rushes me. If he's in the good mood, if he's cranky, he'll rush me. But otherwise, take his book. I can go in the store and take my holy time doing my shop. If he feels like it, he gets off and comes in with me. But if he doesn't feel like it, he stays. Even if I'm going to go buy material, if he feels like it, he'll get off. He's good about shopping. He likes to shop. If there's a big sale on someplace, we may go over there and go to lunch someplace. Sometimes 2-3 days during the week we'll eat lunch out, which is our main meal.
And then you get up, you said that every morning you play tennis together at 6:30? When did you start taking that up?
Well, I told you I hurt my back. I was going to show you a picture of me when I was pregnant, as he used to say, my pregnant wife, because I wore this corset from here to here. Not even to sleep. I take it off to shower and put it back right on. I slept with it. I walked with it. So when I quit that, the doctor, when I took the corset off, he told me I had to wean myself away from it, take it off for an hour at a time, 2 hours, mm-hmm. 3 hours. And he gave me a set of exercise to do. And I have to do my exercise in the morning and go for a walk. So mm-hmm. I used to get up every morning and go for this walk all by myself. Then I used to take my dog on the leash. But she would pull me. And it was a little too dangerous, so I start leaving her at home. So I think he kind of worried about me going. And he doesn't have the energy to walk that much. Mm-hmm. And the walks I have to do have to be brisk yeah. walks. No jogging, but a brisk walk. So he says, why don't we start going to the tennis court? He says, we can hit it on the backboard. Ask the doctor. So when I went for my checkup, I asked him. He said, yes, as long as you don't do any running. Don't do any mm-hmm. sudden things. He says, leave the ball go. He says, but it won't bother you.
So had you taken up tennis? Had you ever played
no,
tennis before?
No.
He was a tennis player,
yes,
though.
Yes. No, I didn't know anything about it. He broke me. He started teaching mm-hmm. me how to hit the ball, what to do. In fact, he can be pretty snotty sometimes about it, you know. But I used to be a bowler. That's mm-hmm. what I used to do. And he never cared much for bowling.
Who would you go bowling with then?
Well, different friends, mm-hmm. different friends. But he never cared for it, so we never bowled together. Mm-hmm. But we'd go to the ball games and the fights mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But now I catch on, but I can't hit the ball at a regular tennis game. We'll volley back and forth, but if he hits it extra hard, shows off like a time, I just let it go.
Now, how long has it been since he's retired?
Well, he retired, I think, when he's 65 now. He'll be 66 in December. I think he retired when he was 63. I think so. Or
so
62,
almost
63, yeah.
And in those 3 years, you mainly spent your time doing things together since his retirement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you a couple of questions looking back, but I wonder before I ask you those if there are other things about your life that we haven't covered but I didn't think about asking if you'd like to add.
I told you about my brother, huh, and I showed you the picture.
Oh, except I don't think we have it on tape.
Uh-huh. Well, that, and about my mother. I told you about my other brother that died as a result of the bursted appendix on board ship.
That's the one that we don't have on tape. We have about your other brother's
death. Mm-hmm. It was during battle when it happened. And he came home for years and years. He was fine. He got out of the Navy and he was working. He was fine. Then one day, he had a back room. We still were living together in that house. Had a back bedroom. And he didn't get up. So I think it was a Saturday. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a Saturday. So my husband went over to check on him, see if he was there. And he said, I don't feel so good. So Alex told him, well, why don't you come in and have some breakfast with us? We're going to have breakfast, and I'm going to work in the car. So he came in, had a little something, but he looked pale. He didn't look good. So we thought, well, maybe he had a drink too many or something last night. We didn't nosy. So he went out and helped my husband. Was working with my husband in the car, and pretty soon his stomach started swelling up. And he says, I'm getting horrible pains. And he almost passed out. So we brought him in the house and called the doctor. The doctor says, rush him to the hospital. He's got peritonitis. So they took 8 feet, I think it was, of intestine out. And he ran around with a colostomy for a long, long time, but he wouldn't come home. He was at the veterans. He wouldn't come home till he could get rid of that bag. So he came home finally, and he couldn't hold his food. So he had to live. He lived that way for about 2 years, I think it was. Then he went back again for more surgery and removed some more. He had 3 surgeries, and the third one he didn't come. But It was all connected with that. They kept cutting out and cutting out.
Now, who in your family is alive now, of your sisters and brothers?
Rose and Grace and Leo and Jip.
Oh, so all the others.
We're five of us left, yes.
Mm-hmm. And do you still see each other pretty regularly?
Oh, yes. Jim checks on his sisters, his little sisters, as he says. He's the baby in the family, but he's a great big tall one. And Leo, well, he's the one that's further away. He comes usually every 2-3 years.
Where is he?
Comes
home.
He's in Saipan. And he was here 2 years ago, I think. It's the last time he was in town. And he came in. So he may come this summer. We don't know. And he writes usually to Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Grace is the one that's... She visits everybody. She writes to everybody. She's 70. Let's see, no, she's not 70. She's about 69. But she likes to write. She likes to visit people. Whereas Rose is, she sells Avon. She's involved with all kinds of things at church. And at, she's on the go. And, I've got my house here. I don't care to go visiting unless it's something, really. And my husband, you'll see, you haven't seen him yet. He's stuck in that garage. He's always, like Nina, that's Margie's mother, she visits us at least once a week. She lives in Los Alamitos, and she'll come over here at least once a week. Well, she saw this piece of a board in the garage. You can't walk in my husband's garage, it's so full of junk. And she said, what are you going to do with that piece of wood? And Alex says, oh, I don't know, one of these days I might make a cabinet or something. Why don't you build me a table? So he's making a table for her out of it. But he keeps busy. He takes care of what there is that he takes care of. Yard. He hated yard work. Even when he was in real estate, we had a gardener to keep up the yard, and my boys would do the rest of the work. But... since he's been retired, he started digging here, and I won't do it. I won't go out there. I tell him, it's my time, that's yours. Mine is over here. So he stays, he goes out to the garage, he stays busy, or he'll water, or he'll dig up around there. But he casts different projects, like when Chris was born, he made him a beautiful crib, and he carved the name McSwain across the top. So it's all wrapped up, Joe says, in the garage over there.
What are your thoughts about the future?
Well, we do a lot of traveling. I think I've told you we've been to Europe twice. I'll take it easy and hope and pray that my husband will live to realize his... but they owe him in money, his retirement, his unemployment, his disability, to where he can... He'd like to buy a car. He could have a car if he wants to go. He loves to travel. If he could, we could go away not once a year, maybe twice a year. Let him enjoy what he can. God willing, maybe I'll go before him. But I would like him to enjoy whatever he can in his way. Especially now, he's been very, very quick-tempered, and this came to a head about Steve McQueen. That's what he has.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. And like the doctors tell him, that there's nothing they can do for him. Anytime, well, it might be 10, 15, 20 years. But why think of it that way?
So you just keep going and doing what you can.
Day to day, and do what he can. Like when we go, we went to Central America, there's a lot of climbing he can't do, and he'll usually stay down here. I'll go with the rest of the groups up there. Or when we went to Italy, he couldn't go up to the tower. I went up there. Or he can't in Rome. He couldn't stand those crowds. It's so, you know, closed in feeling. And he wouldn't get involved in those crowds, but he would go see the things around, and I would go see the other stuff. So I can see there's a lot of things. His temper is very short right now, and he worries a lot. I can see the look on his face. It's too fresh. It's too much. Now, tomorrow Tuesday, we have to be at Long Beach or Santa Monica, I think, for a deposition. They're going to take on the case, and the lawyers have called and told him that two or three little companies have settled. But they told him that it's not very much. It's anyway from 1,000 to 10,000.
Now, is the suit against the naval shipyard or the first place?
No.
The earlier place?
No. Just the manufacturer.
The manufacturers of the...
Yeah, no naval ship.
Against John Mansfield. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're the ones that are fighting. John Mansfield and another one. There's two or three big companies that are fighting.
Mm-hmm.
The small companies, according to the letter, have settled.
And is this being handled by the White Lung Association?
No, this is a private lawyer.
So you're doing it on your own as an individual rather than as part of a group.
Mm-hmm. For a long time, he didn't want to do anything about it. And he didn't want to, they'll come across. Don't worry. And he lost his hearing, by the way. He can't hear at all on one side. He had a ruptured eardrum. It got very badly infected. Then he was working one day at the shipyard, and a pipe burst. Actually, this pipe, the waste would go.
Mm-hmm.
So they got... You can imagine. And some went in there and started a bad infection. So he had to have surgery. He had five surgeries on the ear. Finally, he lost hearing on that side, and they told him to just thank God the infection has been cleared. Don't push it anymore. Don't use a hearing aid. Don't do nothing. Don't abuse it in any way. So when he decided, Alex and Joe and me telling him, look, it's already almost a year, and you haven't even got your disability, and the statute of limitations might run out. To this. So we finally talked. He asked a friend, another fellow from the shipyard, who they were going to or what mm-hmm. they were doing. And a friend of Joe, he's the drummer. In fact, his brother became a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe asked Sam and told him, he says, do you know a good lawyer in this regard? I said, wait, I'll have to ask my brother. And his brother recommended this group of lawyers that are handling most of the cases in the asbestosis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how come we gave it to them. But here it's been almost 2 years. And now this case I understand, but his disability. When their own doctors at the shipyard gave him 75% disability. That
They're
is what I
think. They're going to fight it hard, I'm sure, because that's a lot of workers.
Oh, yeah. They tell him, like they told him, your papers are in San Francisco. Oh, your papers are in Sacramento. Oh, this, oh, that. They give him, he's got a whole stack of junk there. Excuses.
But in the meantime, you're just going to both keep going and doing what you can.
Sure. And we've always been frugal, and we sold a couple of properties. Because we had a place that were 8 units, 4 courts here and 4 here, and we used to go and somebody would move out, go and paint and clean and what have you. So when he retired, it really was too mm-hmm. much for him. So he says, why don't we sell the Belmont property? So we sold that and we sold another. And actually, well, that's how we're living.
Yeah. And I assume you're getting Social Security, too, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what we're living, really. So I get 100 and now 198, 100,
mm-hmm.
close to 200. He gets 360 plus his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So we live. We're comfortable, you know. But we could do so much more if he would get his disability.
Yeah.
Be so much.
Let me ask you, and it sounds like your sons are still very close. They come over
mm-hmm.
quite frequently.
Oh, yeah.
In touch with them.
Mm-hmm. Alex and Sarah come just about every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Every Sunday they're here. I'll make a big meal. Like I was going to offer you cake. I offered you cake last time. I made a luscious lemon cake last time. Now I made a 3-layer chocolate cake.
Oh.
And I made them barbecued ribs yesterday. Last week I had a roast chicken. And Alex loves this fried Chinese fried rice, so I made him that. So when they go home, they always take a bunch of little containers because, see, she works till 7. She works Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday till 7 at night.
Mm.
And she's off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But my son works nights, so they don't see each other till Saturday and Sunday.
Now, let me ask Margie, looking back over things, is there anything that you would do differently in your life if you had to do again?
Maybe I would try and have a little girl. Mm-hmm. Or I tried to convince my husband to adopt a little girl. He didn't want to. I might have gone into, because I did want a larger family. Mm-hmm. And I think that's mainly I would have liked a little more. Or become involved in, like my sister, maybe if I had broken myself into becoming involved with young girls in mm-hmm. some way or another, mm-hmm. I think I would enjoy that mm-hmm. to where. But my husband is the type that wants me around, mm-hmm. wants me mm-hmm. with him. If we go any place, he won't come out and tell me, no, you can't do it. Mm-hmm. But he wants me with him. It seems like I tell Rosie. Rosie says, well, why don't you come with me and go here? It seems like more so, I don't know if it's his sickness or what it is, but he makes excuses so that we'll be together.
Now, was this true before? Or
well, before it was only natural that we would be together. Mm-hmm. But now that he's retired, mm-hmm. like Rose Justo, Eddie Justo, her husband, he goes his way, she mm-hmm. goes hers. She gets mm-hmm. involved in things. Whereas Alex, he'll get up in the morning. If it wasn't for this interviewing, he would have gotten up this morning because we stayed home yesterday and we stayed home mm-hmm. Saturday. He would have said, come on, let's go for a ride. Do you have any shopping to do? And we'll take off. Now I'm looking at, I need new curtains in there. I made new curtains for my kitchen and I'm trying to talk him into washing the walls in there so I can put. So he might have said, let's go look at some drapes. Mm-hmm. Not that we're going to go buy them, yeah. but we'll go look at something and we'll come home, say, around 1 o'clock and have our lunch, mm-hmm. or we'll have lunch out, mm-hmm. which this, like I tell you, is yeah. 3 to 4 days of the week we'll go out. Mm-hmm. The other days we'll usually stay home. Saturday I generally give good house clean because I know Sunday the kids will mm-hmm. be here. Mm-hmm. And Joe usually drops around Sunday afternoon or on a Monday mm-hmm. if he's not working on Monday.
So the main thing is that you would have tried to have expanded your family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, given the kinds of, how do you see the future for young women today compared to when you were a young woman growing up?
I think they have, in the long run, really, if they stop and expand, they have more opportunities than when we were, because there's so many other things that they can do now that... This morning, what would you say, in law, my God, in our day, you hardly ever saw a woman lawyer. Mm-hmm. Even in executive positions, my God, I thought I was doing wonderful having attained what I did to be there without the minimal of education, where now they have the chance to get a lot more. I think girls say they haven't progressed. Maybe they haven't as fast as they want to. Mm-hmm. Like Sada, you know, Sada will stay and we'll talk. And she feels that they haven't moved as fast as they should, that they're still being held back. I said, but you still have a lot more than we had. Mm-hmm. Just the other night, she went out to Flippers with the girls. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought. So
you were saying that, for instance, in terms of women going to certain places.
Uh-huh. In our day, we didn't... see, so that's rather risque place in the mm-hmm. sense of the word, you know.
Although you would go to the dances. And uh-huh, dances
but this, that was well-supervised, mm-hmm. until I say... we were being nice, shall we say, what could the boys do? Come and dance together, and they were away from home. You know, it was like a duty almost that you did. Whereas now they have this Chippendales, I think is the name of it. Isn't that the name of it? I think that's what you called it. I forget. It's up in Hollywood where the men dance. Mm. And she was telling me that she went with the girls. You know, she was telling me yesterday all about, my God, I said, I've never even been to a Follies. Mm-hmm. I said, even married, I don't think my husband would have thought of taking me to the Follies or striptease and all that. I said, so there's a lot of things that are open that people won't point a finger. Just like the way my son, sure, it's all right. As he said, told him, I'm getting together with the girls and we're going to go. And she says, of course, when I came home, he got home before me, and he was in the top of the stairs waiting for me. And he says, well, I wasn't mad. I was just worried about you.
Well, if you were a young woman today, given the way things are, what do you think you would do? What sort of path would you follow, do you think?
Do you think the more opportunities I have today? I've told my kids that I think I would go into public speaking of some kind. Hmm. I think I would have liked to have gotten involved in with the public in some way or another. Mm-hmm. They've asked me, and like when I was in the clubs, I was always secretary or arranging affairs or something or other. And Mom was always the, what did they call me? They had a funny name for me. I was, we'd get together, okay, you do this, you do that, you do the other, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think I would have been involved somewhere or other like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe in a political sense, or maybe just organizing things for something. Mm-hmm. I think I would like something like that.
Mm-hmm. What's your feelings about the women's movement?
I think it's very good in one way, as long as they don't be woman. Mm-hmm. Push for their rights, but be woman first.
And how would you define that?
I don't know how to tell you. It seems like some of them, not all of them, some of them are too mannish. Mm-hmm. They think they have to be more mannish to get where they want to, mm-hmm. instead of getting where they want to as a woman. And so you're pretty, you're attractive. So what? Don't make yourself ugly. Make yourself pretty. That's what I held against the girls that when they went through that transition where they wore the Levi's and the hair and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not necessary. You can get where you want to get as a woman, but fight as a woman. Mm-hmm. Not you're all actually. That's they tell me I'm wrong, and maybe I am totally wrong. But you're fighting, thinking you're a man. You're not fighting, thinking you're a woman. If you're not going to fight, there as a woman, fix your hair and do it, and fight like a woman. But get what the woman you have. I could be totally wrong, but that's the way I feel about it. And Zaya worked a lot in the women's movement and all that. And I know that a lot of things we don't argue, but I can see by the way she stays quiet that she doesn't agree with me in some things.
In what areas would you have to think, would you?
As she's been raised entirely different from my way. She was raised always where the, she never did any housework. Mm-hmm. She never did, she was always on the go. They always had a woman to do the housework, first the grandma, then some outsider, you know. Whereas I was raised to do your housework at home. Go to work, yes, but do your work at home. There wasn't a thing you didn't know about your house you could take over and do it. Because she didn't know anything about washing. She didn't know anything about cooking. All that. Here she was already in college, and she couldn't do any of those things. She had to learn. And I think she found it very hard.